Hey guys, welcome to the advanced Q-show lesson for today, which is we are going to talk about stances. Stances are an interesting subject. Sure, you've seen some of my videos over the course of the years on stances, and I know since you're doing the level two material here, now that you've gone over the basics of all the stances in level one. And if you need refreshing, just go back in the course and you will see the videos that are there on the six basic stances and what their elements relate to. But today we want to start to look at the advanced usage of stances. Now, for many, many years in the martial arts, and I honestly don't know if it is still true today or not because I don't pay attention, there were a lot of people that had very harsh opinions about stances, stating the fact that they're just part of the classical mess, quoting Bruce Lee, of course, and that they have no purpose, people don't fight out of stances, and things like that. Well, unfortunately, it shows that their lack of understanding about anything with regards to stances and really martial arts in general. Now, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I used to do a lot of reading on Bruce Lee. I was fascinated by him because I was a child when the Green Hornet, when the pilot aired, and I remember that pilot very well. I absolutely fell in love with the character of Kato and I wanted to be just like him. I think I was like 6 years old or something. And I remember when Bruce died in 73, it was all over the papers, oddly enough, where I was living in Windsor. And there used to be a newspaper shop downtown, newspapers and magazines. It was a good sized place too. And I remember seeing it on the front cover. And I remember how sad we all were going to see Enter the Dragon, that Bruce was gone and all of that. And he certainly was a very charismatic and interesting character. However, many people took the things he said as some kind of gospel or dogma. And somebody with 5 years of formal training really can't go off and talk about how useless classical martial arts are because he has no training in them. Right? That's like me trying to tell somebody how to fly an airplane. But because of his stature that he had worked his way up to and the fame that movies gave him, he had a platform by which he could voice his opinion. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's an opinion. Doesn't mean that it means anything. Now, I do agree with many of the things he said, but a lot of the things he said, he was reiterating things that martial arts before him had said, or he was quoting out of Zen Buddhism as well. Right. Now, the attack on stances is proof of a lack of understanding. Stances are taught in such a way as it appears that they become something stationary, when in actuality, all stances is a transition point, right? The principles by which you are guiding yourself on at this point is mobility and stability. And you will spend most of your time being mobile and not much of your time being stable, right? It is sort of like listening to music, and a stance is the pause between the notes, whereas the notes go on for a much longer period of time. And there's also an illusion of stances being instrumental in striking, which is really not factual. When you strike, you do not necessarily need to be in any kind of a formal stance, nor should you be, or coming into one, because it has a detrimental effect on the body mechanic of the strike, depending on the strike, of course. But there is, again, an illusion because of the way people are taught that that is the case, such as stepping back and doing a middle block and punching, right? That's a practice point. That is not a reality point. Now, when it comes to hands-on or grappling, And we always want to make sure that we define the word grappling, because sport has kind of butchered the word grappling. Grappling is not rolling around on the ground with each other, you know. Grappling is any time that you are hands-on. Now, stances in hands-on application, such as grappling, have a tremendous effect on the technique itself and how much pain can result from the technique. And that, again, cuts back to the fact that they are related to the elements in Kyusha, right? But once again, they are only transitional points. And in grappling, the ultimate is to go from one transitional point to the next transitional point to the next to get absolute control of your attacker. We call this in my root art transitioning, okay, which is essentially when it is you're transitioning from one movement to the next movement to the next movement using the principles of mobility and stability. You're never gonna, as an example, the finger lock. If you've got a finger lock with pericardium in the finger lock, and you come back into a forward bow with your reverse hand in control, you have set up perfectly that particular stance for use against that fire finger of theirs in that finger lock. However, if you remain there, it will lose the effect. Therefore, you would turn the hand and you would continue to be mobile, perhaps taking them to the ground where you'd have a base of the ground, and then you could, if you were a police officer, you could tell them to put their other hand behind their back and you could begin cuffing them, right? There are all sorts of things you can do with it, but they are transitional points. They are not places by which you stay. You move in and you move out. And that is just so critical that everybody understand that, and that you don't ever get this idea that you're fighting out of a stance. Martial arts are taught wrong on purpose. And I don't suppose we actually have to do it, but we do teach them wrong on purpose. For one, it controls the ego. I had a guy once come in that I taught. I taught him up until blue belt in our system, which is about 2.5-3 years down the pipe. About 2.5 years down the pipe, I guess. And he was an arrogant SOB. And when he came in, he was also really scrappy. By the time I got him to his first yellow stripe, he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag anymore, because I'm reprogramming him wrong, and I'm taking away all his skills. This way I can have a possibility of controlling this person's ego and then rebuild his fighting ability, so that once again he is efficient, but perhaps he is efficient being a person now with an ethical code when it comes to violence. Right. Now, with this particular guy, it was really pointless, because he ended up getting arrested and he spent some jail time for assault, which he had coming. Right. I never felt bad about it. He was gone by the time that this happened. But that's one of the reasons that you do teach people wrong on purpose, is to get control of their ego and also to give them staying power within a martial art. Because as I stated with Bruce Lee, 5 years is not enough to become a master of all, right? You can be the greatest thinker in the world. You can be a great philosopher. You could be a great mathematician, but only time and training and what will get you what it is that you need. An example that I can think of is Tony Robbins. Now, Tony Robbins got a Taekwondo first degree black belt from Jun Rei, and he paid Grandmaster Rei to travel with him and train him on the road while he was doing all of his work. And it's a boasting point for him that he had made his black belt in roughly a year. Now, I'm not going to say I have an issue with that. However, I will state the fact that at that particular point in time, he may be very proficient in the movement, in the execution of the movement, but he has no clue as of yet the understanding of the movement. That comes with years, and there's no way to beat that clock. Okay, many have tried and all of them have failed. You cannot beat that clock. And I can sit here at my age and say that with great assurance because I've put in the time. The things that I thought I knew 20 years ago, I didn't. Anyways, that's it for today's Q Show lesson. Remember to review your stuff, guys, and we will see you next class. Ciao.